Yeah, I feel like a lot of fish look really good as juveniles, but as they get older, they turn like an ugly color. And that's the same with most damselfish species, too. Like, mm-hmm. When they're young, they're super brightly colored, and then as they get older and more dominant in a reef, they'll turn to, like, a blackish gray.
Yeah.
And it's like, why did I even put this in my tank? What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Coral Reef Talk podcast. I'm here with Joey Jones, as always.
What's up, everyone?
What's going on, Joey? How's your week been?
You know what? It's been a pretty busy week. I mean, this is December. It's the holiday season. It's Christmas time. So there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, picking up those last minute Christmas items or even, I don't know. We tend to start late getting Christmas gifts. I don't know how it is for you or for those of you watching. Like, when do you start your Christmas shopping? Are you starting December? Are you buying gifts like months ago? Like, how does that work?
I haven't bought much of anything yet, to be honest.
Nothing yet. Okay.
I'm like, I wait till like the last second for whatever reason. So that's usually what I do. That's how I roll.
Yep. Same here. I'm considering like this week in December, I'm kind of behind and like it's last minute shopping and everyone's like, what are you talking about? This is when everyone's starting. So today we thought that it would be a really exciting episode to talk about fish or things in the saltwater aquarium hobby that we have never kept before and mm-hmm. stuff that maybe we've thought about keeping or things that we've looked at and wanted to. And maybe we took a step back and was like, okay, maybe we can't really keep that in our tank.
So starting off here, this is one of my most sought after species of fish to keep. This is the rough tongue bass. It's a Caribbean species. It's also found like north of Florida, even into the Carolinas. And throughout the Atlantic, it's a deep water species. You don't usually see it above 200 foot.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get my hands on a couple of these for the deep water tank. I actually have a diver that I know quite well who does some diving in the Atlantic, some deep water diving. So I'm hoping he's able to acquire a few specimens here soon so I can add them to the deep water reef because I've been really looking forward to it. They're such a gorgeous fish, and obviously you don't see them too often because they're not ever really collected. They've surfaced a few times in the hobby a few years ago, and that's the last time I've seen them. And, I mean, many people don't even know that there is Caribbean antheus. A lot of people think all the antheus species come from the Indo-Pacific, but we do have a few species here in the Caribbean, so I think it'd definitely be really cool to get my hands on a couple of these.
Yeah, very cool. It's got a lot. I like the colors of this fish.
Yeah.
How large does this fish get?
So I want to say maybe about 6-7 inches max.
Okay.
Every time I've actually seen them, like pictures and even like videos of them when people are like not scuba diving, but like in a submarine, they're anywhere from like 4 to 5 inches. They don't really get too big. They're similar. Well, they're in the antheus like genus, like the family of antheus. Mm-hmm. So they don't really get too big, but they do eat a lot. They have a super high metabolism. So before I acquire some of these, I'm definitely going to want to put like an auto feeder on the tank to kind of, you know, keep the food rolling. So I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to do that because, you know, they like the mysis shrimp and all that sort of stuff. But they might be willing to eat pellets. So we'll have to find out.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, you got to get them eating more of those foods that you can automatic feed. I think it was Devin from Reef Dude set up like a small little refrigerated auto feeder that could do mysis shrimp or something like that
at really?
One time, utilizing like a dosing pump and like really small refrigerator unit.
Huh.
So
I might have to look into that.
Might be a DIY thing you could set up or just get them eating pellets, like you said, and you're good to go.
Definitely.
But each and every week, Levi, you're bringing the oddball animals to the show and everything. So I figured this week I would try my hand at bringing something a little different, something that, I don't know, I guess you don't see a lot of. But when I first got into the hobby, I would see this fish right here. Now, this fish is the spotted sweet lips or the clown sweet lips, harlequin sweet lips, has variety of different names, and I just think this is the awesome looking fish.
It is.
I like the white spots. I like the color of it, but this is the juvenile right here. Mm-hmm. So this fish changes colors as it matures, and this is something that I didn't know about whenever I was first in the hobby and first looking at fish. I was like, this is an awesome fish. I need it for my tank. And then my next tank at the time was 75 gallons. I never bought this fish. I've just always wanted this fish until I found out that like the minimum tank size for this fish is like 500 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
Because this fish can get to like 2 foot, 2.5 feet, like this, something like that. This fish can get really big.
Yep.
But yeah, so as it matures, it changes colors. And I don't know if I'm a huge fan of what it looks like after it changes colors, but it goes from looking like this to this right here. So I don't know, 500 gallon tanks, that's a little bit much for what I'm trying to do. And then it doesn't look like this forever. So I was kind of like, oh man, you know, but yeah, you see these, yeah, they're really, really cool. And you see them in the local fish stores.
Yeah.
Right there along the Panther groupers. You see those in there too. And those fish get pretty big as well. But yeah, they definitely require a large aquarium. So yeah, so I've never had this fish, but I always thought it looked really, really cool as a juvenile.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of fish look really good as juveniles. Mm-hmm. Like the batfish too. I don't know if you've seen those before.
Yes.
The black and orange, and even like the Panther groupers are really cool. And there's plenty of other fish that look really nice when they're like juveniles, but as they get older, they turn like an ugly color. And that's the same with most damselfish species too. Like mm-hmm. When they're young, they're super brightly colored. And then as they get older and more dominant in a reef, they'll turn to like a blackish gray.
Yeah.
And it's like, why did I even put this in my tank?
Yeah. All the awesome colors are there for a little bit. And then
yeah,
when they grow up, they don't look the same.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it is a really, really cool fish. But yeah, gets a little bit too big for what I'm going for.
All right. Next up here, we have the ball anemone. Now, there's a species in the Indo-Pacific as well as the Caribbean, just unique. It's a non-photosynthetic anemone. It pretty much just eats large prey-like fish. And I've seen photos and videos of them eating starfish even, as well as some other invertebrates. They're just super unique. You really need their own tank, unfortunately. So a lot of people end up keeping them in their sumps or in like a small little like 10-gallon tank. They do get quite large, so just keep that in mind. But you can put them in like a non-photosynthetic system, but you're not going to be able to keep any fish in that system because these will eat anything that touches them because they are super sticky. You know, I've seen them before in person and I've touched one. It stings you pretty good, and it does not want to let go. Those things,
really?
Yeah, they're pretty gnarly. They're cool, and mm-hmm. I want one at some point, but they're crazy. They're gnarly.
Yeah, so like usually like a fish that's not doing well or like coming down with something, if they swim into like a bubble tip anemone, and they'll get taken and pulled in. But you're saying like this one right here.
Oh, this thing.
If, touch those if tentacles, it's
yeah.
over. Over.
Yeah, that thing has a wicked sting and it is really sticky. I'll tell you that. I don't know if you've ever touched a carpet anemone, but it's kind of like that, but a little worse.
Yeah.
It just will not let go. So they're that's cool awesome. Though. So mm-hmm. maybe a nano tank one day or in the sump. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. So that's something that you could definitely get your hands on. You don't need no 500,000 gallon tank for that.
Exactly.
Very cool. So today you brought something interesting here for our scientific segment.
Yes.
Do you want to go ahead and jump into a little bit of scientific name, teach us all something?
Let's do it. All right. So this scientific name is definitely throwing me for a loop. I've been trying to decide how to say it for the longest time over the past few years.
Okay.
Anomalops.
Okay.
Catoptron.
Anomalops catoptron.
Yes.
Okay.
Probably cool. Murdered it again, but who knows? This is a flashlight fish. There's a few different species of them, like the two spine and then the one or the two fin and one fin. And there's also an Atlantic species here in Florida where we are. But a lot of the times these get imported from like Philippines or Bali. They're deeper water fish and they actually have a little glowing organ underneath their eye. So at the depths that they live, they use this light to attract fish. They use it to communicate with other fish in their school. And they also use it to evade predators, to confuse predators. So it's just a super unique fish. And hopefully I'm getting my hands on a couple of these soon to put in the deep water tank. They're very similar related to squirrel fish. If you look okay. at them, they kind of have the same kind of body structure. But they're super unique. They're a little challenging to keep in captivity, especially with a lot of the regular reef tanks that we have. So when they are brought into the hobby, they're not very hardy because they don't get put into the right tanks. They're really stressed out. I mean, you got to think these come from like pitch black water.
Yeah.
Like anywhere like 200 foot on down. I've like heard of some a little shallower, but they definitely like the deeper water, which also means cooler water. So you just got to keep all these factors in mind before you're kind of looking into these. But these are definitely something unique, and I'm super excited to hopefully be trying one later this week, actually. So
very cool. That's awesome. So for those hobbyists that don't know what you're really talking about when you're talking about a deep water tank, can you go into a little bit more detail about how that tank is set up and like what that looks like for these type of fish to actually keep them in a deep water tank?
Yeah, so actually this right here is my deep water tank. It's very dimly lit. I don't actually have a light on it at all throughout the day other than the room light. And when I'm taking pictures, I have a little light that I turn on. But other than that, it doesn't get any light. That can cause pH issues. So you just got to be careful and kind of monitor your pH and use some additives to help keep that pH balanced. But a deep water tank pretty much just means that these corals are not requiring any light. And it's a different setup than what you do for a normal typical reef tank. You're going to want lots of food, good filtration, and you're going to want heavy flow for most of these corals that you're going to be putting in the deep water reef. And then for the fish, you're going to want to mimic their environment. So you're going to want to keep that in mind with whatever fish that you're purchasing, where they're coming from, how deep they're coming from, because you want to try to mimic that the best in the system so they can live, you know. So yeah, this tank behind me, like little to no light whatsoever. All the corals in there are deep water corals that come from deeper waters, so they don't use any light whatsoever. And a lot of people always ask me, like, what do I do for all, like, you know, you can see the rocks in here, all the like little white areas, you know. I try to fill that with sponges. Some of the sponges are slowly taking off. But yeah, deep water reef is just something different that some people do. Mm-hmm. And obviously the oddball reefer, so I like to do some odd things. And yeah. I have this deep water reef.
Very cool. That's awesome. And so majority of the time that light in that room is off then, and then
yes,
you only use it when you need to, and that really doesn't bother anything.
Yes. And very I do cool. keep that tank a little cooler too. All the other tanks have heaters, and that one stays at about 68.
Okay.
So, yes.
Awesome. Well, today I'm excited to introduce our next giveaway for this episode. Today's giveaway is brought to you by Ocean Box Designs, and they make the incredible micro tank that you see on your screen here. The Micro Tank Artisan P1G is handcrafted. It's ultra premium. This is a 1 gallon desktop aquarium. It looks super sleek, super awesome, as well as the Coral One frag racks. These frag stands are extendable, modular, and they're versatile in your reef aquarium for all your coral frag needs. Just some really cool high quality stuff coming out of Ocean Box Designs. And one of my favorite is the Biomedia Frag Rack. This is the Polyrock magnetic frag rack that looks like a rock structure in your tank, and it allows you to put up to 6 coral frags on there. And the frag plugs actually lock into place, so they're not going to fall out or fall off of this frag rack. Also, on the underside is printed in such a way that supports and promotes beneficial bacteria to thrive, and that will help your biodiversity in your tank as well, because they have a place that they can stay safe in inside of the Polyrock. So Ocean Box Designs is offering a $25 gift certificate to their site. So the winner of today's giveaway will receive a $25 gift certificate that they can use at oceanboxdesigns.com. But if you'd like to win the $25 gift certificate, go ahead and let us know in the comments below that you love Ocean Box Designs. Just put it nice and big. Say, I love Ocean Box Designs. And we will know that you are entered in the giveaway.
Definitely. All righty. So right here we have a unique invertebrate. I don't see these too often in the hobby. I think they're either just not collected or they're just looked over because they're rather small. These are the emperor shrimps. They tend to have a symbiotic relationship with sea slugs, sea cucumbers, sea apples. They kind of hang out on them and kind of get a free ride for some, you know, extra food that may be coming off the sea cucumbers. But a lot of the times, I mean, almost every single sea, not every single sea cucumber, but from what I've heard from divers overseas, they see them all the times on all the larger sea cucumbers and the sea apples. They're just something unique that I've always wanted to keep and I've never actually been able to get my hands on. I have a few divers trying to find these just to get me like a decent size one, because everyone they ever find is microscopic.
Yeah, I was going to say they're pretty tiny, aren't they?
They're really tiny. Yeah. So when they get decent, like an inch max size, which is still quite small. But I just wanted to, you know, try one out, see how it does, and kind of try to keep them in captivity. I've heard of a couple people doing that, including one of my friends that I've known for a while. So I'm just looking to get my hands on one of these maybe down the road. And just giving my hand a try at it, you know, trying something different and something unique. It is really cool. I'm just hoping, you know, I can present it well and appreciate it, you know, because they're just so small. But we got all these nano tanks nowadays, so maybe I could.
Yeah, we'll see. Why not? Yeah, definitely give that a try. And speaking of shrimps and things like that, I've brought up the banded coral shrimp here. This is a shrimp that is pretty common in the hobby. It's pretty easy as far as care level. It's just a shrimp that I've never kept. I've always tended to go towards like the, I guess, the even more common shrimp, like the regular cleaner shrimp or a blood red shrimp. But yeah, I mean, this guy is got a striped body here. Very nice. It's a great member of the cleanup crew. So if you've never tried it, like I've never tried it, maybe you want to pick one of these guys up. I know you've Have you had one of these in your aquariums?
Yeah, so I have one in the Caribbean tank and one in the deep water tank right now. So I have two.
Awesome.
And so I have actually two in the Caribbean tank.
Okay.
So one's the regular, and then I have a gold coral banded. So those are pretty cool too.
Very nice. So what have you noticed about this besides his pinchers on the outside that differentiates him from like a cleaner shrimp or a blood red shrimp?
I like their color. It stands out really well. You see them from across the room. And they also tend to kind of find their own area in the tank, like a little cave or a crevice. Mm-hmm. They kind of tend to hold their own in that area. Like if a fish swims near that area, they tend to kind of, you know, like fan them off or try to get them out of there. But yeah, like I was worried when I put the gold coral banded in the tank because, you know, you're not supposed to put two of them in the tank. But they're two separate species, so they kind of end up finding their own little holes and crevices, kind of hanging out in their own little areas. But they can tend to, like I said, be a little aggressive, you know, and get territorial. But they are a super cool shrimp to add, just to add some color. Man, it's just unique looking. So
very cool. Yeah, and from what I've read, like it's also known as like the boxing shrimp. So to your point of being aggressive, it can be aggressive towards other shrimp of the same species and they'll tend to fight it out. But yeah, towards fish, they're peaceful. They pick little crustaceans and they eat meaty foods. So nice member of the cleanup crew. I may consider getting one of these for one of the 10-gallon tanks.
That'd be cool.
But yeah, just never picked one up before. And they're pretty common. Yeah,
I've seen them in the wild, you know, and like every time I tend to see like a moray eel, you'll see a couple of them hanging out by the head and like cleaning out the mouth of the moray. That's always really cool.
Yeah.
So these are also like circumtropical. We see them here in the Caribbean, and then you also see them over in like Africa and the rest of the Indo-Pacific. So they're really cool to see in the wild.
Awesome. Yeah, and the next fish up, this guy. What do you think about the clown ting right here? The clown surgeon fish.
Those are some of my favorites.
Yeah, this guy's amazing. Like the nice striking colors. This is a ting that I've always wanted to keep. I've always heard they're super aggressive and difficult and challenging to keep, so I've never picked one up. Mm-hmm. And that you need a pretty large tank. I mean, liveaquaria.com is saying minimum tank size of 2 gallons. These guys are darting around super quick.
Yep. Yeah, like that specific genus. Like, I mean, you got to think of any tang, really. They're constantly grazing on the reef. They're never just hanging out in one area. So, I mean, that's one thing you always got to keep in mind. And, I mean, the clown tangs get really big. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, they like to swim more than any other tang, in my opinion. They swim like crazy. They're going nonstop and they get big. So just keep that in mind. That's probably why they recommend such a big tank. Like we used to have a couple maintenance accounts where I used to work. And every time we'd try to put one in like a smaller system, like I'm saying smaller and I mean like 125 to 200, they really never ended up doing that good. But we did have a couple tanks that were larger than that and they did fairly well. So, I mean, I think it depends on the size of the tank for those.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, and that's probably what steered me away instantly, seeing that 250-gallon tank size, especially whenever I was first starting in the hobby and I only had like a 75 gallon tank. I was like, oh, well, I can't keep this guy, but it would have been pretty awesome.
Those and the Achilles tanks are definitely my favorite.
Yes, and Achilles up there on my list as well. But I mean, definitely one of my favorite tanks of all time has got to be the powder blue tank.
Yes, those are awesome. And I mean, you can keep those in some smaller tanks too.
Yeah,
they do quite well in the hobby.
Yeah, back when we had the 210 gallon tank, I had the self-in tank, the powder blue tank, and the yellow tank. So powder blue tank definitely up there, number one. I got to get another one of those.
Definitely.
But yeah, so today's episode, we just wanted to share some fish that we wish we had or never had a chance to keep, or maybe one day we will keep them. So I hope you guys found that interesting. Let us know in the comments below what type of fish that you wish that you could keep in your aquarium, or if there's some kind of interesting fish that maybe can only thrive in a 1,000-gallon system that you wish you could keep this fish. Let us know about that in the comments below, and thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the Coral Reef Talk, liking, subscribing, and all of that stuff, and we will see you in the next episode.
See ya.